heart for Calvary's blood.
Thank you, choir, and thank you for coming here tonight. And I realize the hour is late, but and I also realized I may not really need to preach. With the testimonies of both Brother Charlie and Brother Robert, I could almost just give an invitation now. But part of the proceeding of a ceremony of graduation, we have to give a charge for Brother Robert, and this is the time that we're going to have this charge. And to please open with me your Bible, you have your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're opening there, I'd just like to tell you about a little story. A graduate who graduated and got a job in a large company, as he went to start work there, his manager said to him, "Your first task is to sweep this whole area here because we've got to prepare it for our next project." And the graduate looked at him and said, "You may not understand something. I graduated from university. I studied lots of years. And, you know, I don't do these things." He said, "Well, just give me the room. I'll show you how." And I'll say to you tonight that I praise God for Brother Robert because while he's graduating from Bible college, the truth is he has now not just earned a degree or a certificate that basically shows that he finished the course, but he cultivated a heart to serve the Lord. And there is no one at Faith Baptist Church that cannot but attest and truly testify to the spirit of humility and service that Brother Robert has portrayed throughout all these years. Brother Robert, we praise the Lord for you, and we know it's not just a certificate that you receive, but there's an honor and praise that God would actually always place upon His servant. And from us as Faith Baptist Church, I'd like you to come up here. I would like to just give you a love gift as a service award from Faith Baptist Church to you as an SBBC graduate. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
For Faith Baptist Church members, I'd like to say there's a sort of graduation beer and a big card for you to sign. Can you please make sure you sign it and give it to Brother Robert after? And to everyone that's available here tonight, after we finish the proceedings, I'd like to just basically invite you over to the next door in the fellowship hall. We'd like to be cutting a cake, and there'll be some refreshments, coffee and tea for us to enjoy together. Would you please stand together with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, indeed we want to thank you tonight for bringing us together for this special evening. Lord, we thank you for Brother Robert, for Sister Angela and their family. And first and foremost, Lord, we truly again want to thank you for thy great faithfulness unto them in sustaining them all these years and cultivating in them a heart to love thee and to love all that is yours, your people, your word, your work. Father, we thank you for each and every one of them. And we pray tonight that you would just help us to fine-tune our vision, to understand what's this all about. We pray for Brother Robert, Lord, and not just for him, but for all the ex-graduates of Sydney Bible Baptist College. We pray for even students today, current student body, and prospective students of this college. Lord, that you would just continue to guide each and every one of them. Father, we pray that you would just help us to continue to carry thy great commission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature in this lost and dying world. Father, that we may see not just one ministry, but many. Not just Newcastle, but throughout this whole land. Lord, that we see New Testament Bible churches springing up everywhere. And Lord, we'll thank you for using each and every one of these people that you have chosen. And we'll be careful always to give you all praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul the Apostle writes this epistle of 2 Timothy to his undergraduate, understudy, his disciple or protege, advising him about many things in the ministry. And in this chapter, chapter 2, he tells Timothy these words, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is what Sydney Bible Baptist College is all about. This is really the heart of every ministry. This is the heart of a ministry of every New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church, is to truly get people to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the saving knowledge of Christ as Savior and Lord, to disciple them, to help them grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to help them go out into the world and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world, and then to continue to occupy till Jesus come again. Tonight, as we've come together, we would like to say to Brother Robert, congratulations for finishing this course of Sydney Bible Baptist College. Well, the emphasis here is on the Bible, Sydney Bible Baptist College. Amen? And what Paul the Apostle is saying here, he's saying from the Word of God and even writing the very Word of God, because this Bible is the basis of all our faith and practice. This Bible is the blessed book that contains the message of hope that this world needs to really hear. The hope of this world is certainly not in our secular schools. It's certainly not in our governmental structure. It's certainly not in all the things that humanism and secularism is producing. The hope of this world is the Lord Jesus Christ and His message alone. And that's why we always come to remember that the truth as it's been delivered by God, revealed unto us, has been revealed and delivered unto us through the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is its own witness. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable unto doctrine, that is, to teach us what is right, unto reproof, that is, to correct us when we're wrong, that is, to basically rebuke us and to tell us and convict us, to show us where that we are truly sinners. Because this Bible teaches that all men are sinners with no exception. For the Bible declares, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is very, very clear concerning this, and we all know from this blessed book as well from our lives that none of us is absolutely perfect. We all have our faults, we all have our mistakes, but most of all, when we measure to the standard of God, the Bible says we all fall short. As I charge tonight, Brother Robert, and I may speak to him personally, but I truly am speaking to every person who feels and knows the call of God upon his life, to every pastor here, to every ex-graduate of Sydney Bible Baptist College, to the current body or the students of Sydney Bible Baptist College, as well as to the prospective students of Sydney Bible Baptist College. This college motto has always been, enter to learn, go forth to serve. This conference here has been about being filled with the Spirit, about having Spirit-filled music, about having Spirit-filled preaching, and today about having Spirit-filled service. And as we come to the graduation or to the end of this college year, we see a graduate who's stepping out from college. Brother Sam is absolutely not sorry about seeing him going, and we are absolutely happy about seeing him stepping into the ministry, going forth to serve. And we praise God for His plan for our life. You know, this book is the center of all learning. And that's why Brother Robert spent 4 years now. The truth is, he's spent a lot more than that ever since he's been saved. I remember when I started to disciple a group of young Christians coming together, Brother Charlie sent me an email. I still have the copy of that email. It contained within it about 63 or 65 questions. Every single one of these questions starts, according to the Bible, according to the Bible, what did you say? According to the Bible, how do you answer this? And every single question was, according to the Bible. We used to come together, Brother Robert used to gather them. Brother Charlie always used to come, so eager, and they want to be discipled. And even though one time he actually said, "Is it okay if we bring our sleeping bags and stay here tonight?" Such thirst for the Word of God. I praise God for that, and that's what led them to Bible College. It is said about David Livingstone, who was a missionary explorer in the last century. He spent his life carrying the gospel into the deep interior of the dark continent of Africa. And as he set on his tracking trip, he actually packed 73 books as his library into three bags, weighing almost about 90 kilos. And set on this trip, and after about hiking for about 300 miles, almost 500 kilometers, they got wearied and, you know, very tired, so they started getting him some of the books. A few miles into the trip again, they got some more books. At the end, he was left only with one book. The blessed book. The Bible. And let me just say, the very first president of Princeton University, that is so well famed today, for its education. Do you know that the basis of all this education started as Christian? Listen to what he said. His name was Jonathan Witherspoon. He actually said these words. He said, "Cursed be all learning that is not subservient to the cross of Jesus Christ." Tonight, Brother Robert would like to say to you, the truth has been delivered. Paul the Apostle says to Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." The truth has been delivered. Tonight, the world may actually ask and say, what is truth? The truth is declared in God's Word. The truth is revealed by God. Nothing is truth other than that what God has truly revealed. You know, every other thing, it remains truly relative. But what God has revealed is absolutely right and truth. And Paul the Apostle said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Why, Paul, are you saying these words? He said, because in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. The truth about how you can actually know to live life, to get to the end of this life and know where you are truly going, is only in the truth who said about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, for God has truly revealed Himself to us in many ways. He's revealed Himself to us through nature and creation, as we've heard from Pastor Hester on Monday night, when he said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament also speaketh of His handiwork. Tonight I'd like to say, anyone who goes out to step in a clear day and say, where is the sun, is absolutely blind. And tonight, if anyone can truly look into creation and look at the things that God had done and say there is no God, is absolutely blind. You see, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. It's men that contradict themselves. You see, the Bible is not rejected because it contradicts itself, but truly it is rejected because it contradicts men. Evolution is nothing but a grown-up people's lie, fable. Listen to what one evolutionist said. His name is George Wald. This is written in Innovation and Biology in the Scientific American, and he said these words: there are two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation arising to evolution. The other is supernatural creative act of God. There is no third possibility. Spontaneous generation, that life arose from non-living matter, was scientifically disproved through scientists like Louis Pasteur and others. That leaves us with the only one possibility, and the conclusion that life arose as a supernatural creative act of God. I will not accept that philosophically because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible. The truth is, he said in another place, he goes on to say, you know, and he's talking about the Big Bang Theory, of course, he's actually saying that it's a one-time thing. And time is on our hands. And he goes on from something being impossible to something being, you know, improbable, to something being unlikely probable, to something being probable, to something being, well, maybe it is, and then so forth, comes to the point and says, if time really allows it, then it will happen. And I believe it did happen. That's what he says. Not me. It's almost like taking this watch, taking every part in it, even every little screw, putting it in a big, you know, a tin, and shaking it, and shaking it, and shaking it for millions and millions and billions of years, and then you take it out and say, well, it finally came together, and it works well, and it keeps time. If you want to believe it that way, that's what he wants to believe. You see, God has revealed himself to us, not only through nature, but through our hearts and in our conscience. The truth is, every one of us, as we sit here tonight, we know, you know, we've come from a long day of work, and you say, well, when this is going to proceed, come on, just give us a big cup of coffee and let us go, say congratulations, Robert, and go home. But you deep down know that this is about much more important than your whole job, your whole career, everything else. Because deep down in your heart, you know that God wants you to know the truth. He's placed eternity in your heart. You know that there is something that is always missing in this life. No matter what you chase, as you have heard from the testimonies, and you may hear from millions of others' testimonies. You know, and I'll tell you the honest truth. As a young man, I praise God that I actually heard the gospel many a time, and I rejected it over and over and again. But I praise God for His persistence, for His grace, and that he never left me until the day that I finally saw that Jesus Christ alone is the one that can fill the vacuum that I've had, and there is only He that was able to change my life and change it forever. God has revealed Himself through history. And many a time, as He says in the book of Daniel, that all may know that the Most High is sovereign. He's the one that is in control. God revealed Himself to you many a time as somebody gave you a tract, as somebody gave you a Gospel of John or the book of Romans, or somebody gave you a New Testament. Someone revealed the Word of God to you and told you that God loves you. And even tonight, as you've heard in the testimonies of both Brother Charlie and Brother Robert, He is actually giving you to hear these kind of testimonies from many other people. And many times, you get to hear God's Word. Many a time, you finally hear it from Mom or Dad or somebody else who gave you the Word of God. And you open the Word of God and read some things. And you said to yourself, it's true. This Word is absolutely divine. God has revealed Himself through the Scriptures. But most of all, God has revealed Himself through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater revelation of the truth of God other than through Jesus Christ. If you study Him and study His life, you will know that He is not just a man who became God, but He is that God who condescended and became man. And He lived amongst us and tabernacled amongst us, that we may truly know that there is no other way that any man can come to God other through Him. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we could be saved other through the name the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth has been delivered by Robert, every pastor, every student. The truth must be defended. To defend the truth, we have to hold it and to heed it. Sometimes we think to strive means to fight. To strive is to make diligence. To strive is to agonize. To fight the flesh, but not fight men. Not even fight sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the needy country of Australia is not at all in need of someone winning an argument or proving a point. No, it's not. This needy land is in need of someone who's with a teardrop in the corner of his eye, with compassion in his heart, going out to preach and tell them about Him who is the only hope, who is the only light of this world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'd say we really need to defend the truth. The truth that was delivered was received by the early church, was copied, and scribes passed it down through the ages. Christians paid dearly with their very lives for the defense of the gospel, while religious systems were banning the reading of the Bible and not allowing its translation to the languages of the people. People like men like Tyndale, like Coverdale, and others were burned at the stake defending their Bible faith, to remind us that the truth which has been delivered must be defended. The Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, and the things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit, in order to commit it to others. I must hold it and I must heed it before I commit it. Paul the Apostle did it. You and I must do it. Robert, today, as we go out to deliver that truth, as we go out to defend that truth, we must remember all the time that we must always deliver it in love. The truth must be given in love. You see, the Bible tells us many a time through Paul the Apostle, as he instructs Timothy, that the truth must be given lovingly. And he actually says to the Thessalonians in his first epistle, chapter 2, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, but God is our witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for the laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. And as he speaks to Timothy in his first epistle, he says, as he's speaking to the qualification of a minister, or about a bishop or an elder or a pastor, he says there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, or filthy rector, but patient, not a brawler. A machos. Machos is someone who is contentious, someone who's quarrelsome. A means not. And here he's saying, not someone who's contentious about these things. We can't actually win someone by just proving a point. Robert, we must stand firm and speak the truth in love with a servant heart. Any carnal Christian can take a little matter and blow it out of proportion and, you know, make a big thing out of it. But a spirit-filled Christian can take an ugly, complex thing and a matter and subdue it to make it into smaller things in which he can resolve it and edify the believers through it. May the Lord help us to truly present the truth, not just lovingly, but as it has been also presented unto you, literally. Literally. We believe in a literal interpretation of God's Word. We believe that Latin interpretation means to put it in its own context, in the historical grammatical context, to know that there is only one meaning, one interpretation for the Word of God. Yes, there may be many applications, but there is only one interpretation for the Word of God. And this system is being delivered unto you by God's grace from these men of God who don't actually look at this as a career or as a promotion, but they actually look at it as a divine calling from God. And they actually sacrifice for investing their lives in the lives of students and undergraduates like you. May the Lord truly help us tonight to not only see that the truth is delivered, but the truth also must be defended. We must not only hold it, but we must also heed it. Robert, and as I said, every one of us, when I say Robert, as student body today, as ex-graduates, as pastors, let's remember, this is to all of us. God's Word is above us all. Some people seem to think sometimes that they don't need God's Word. Sometimes they think, unfortunately, sometimes bad policemen think that they're above the law. And let me just say, bad servants of Christ think that they're just above the Bible. We need to heed God's Word. Said about Muhammad Ali, who was going on a plane from L.A. to Manila in 1975 for the Thriller in Manila. He got on the plane and, he was sitting in first class, and the plane was about to take off when the hostess came and said, "Sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt." So he didn't actually bother. So she came back another time and reminded him, "Sir, need to buckle your seatbelt. We're about to take off." And she left him and came back, and he still hasn't buckled his seatbelt. And she said to him, "Sir, we're about to take off. Please buckle your seatbelt." And he said, "You don't know who you're talking to. This is Muhammad Ali." She said, "Sir, we're about to take off. You need to buckle your seatbelt." And he said to her, "Superman need no seatbelt." She looked at him and she said, "Superman need not an airplane either. Buckle your seatbelt." Sometimes we think just because we know all of it, we've got the answers, we just don't need God's Word anymore. Brother Robert, we need to heed God's Word every day in our lives. Pastor, ex-graduate, student. Not just because you're reading all the textbooks about Christianity, all of a sudden you think you don't need the Bible. We need God's Word every day of our lives, in our lives. Many people have this attitude in life even. And, you know, when you speak to people, they say, oh, I don't need the Bible. You know, I believe in God. Well, very well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Also, as James says, thou believest in God, thou doest well. You do very well, but the devils also believe and tremble. Many people today seem to think that just, you know, because they know a little bit about spirituality, they actually say, oh, I pray every day. You know, they say, oh, God speaks to me. I say, how does God speak to you? And they say, oh, I see dreams, or I hear sometimes God speaking to me. I say in an audible voice. They say, oh, not really an audible voice, but sometimes it is an audible voice. And I say sometimes, check it. We seem to actually be increasing in spirituality, but we seem to be always increasing in moving away from Jesus Christ. We seem to be increasing in spirituality in our world today, but seems to be going away from God's Word. The emergent church today speaks about the church, speaks about the faith of our fathers. You have second generation and third generation pastors today who say, I don't worship God like my father did, or I don't understand the Bible as my father did. I can do as I please. This is what an emergent church is all about. They think that they're above the Bible. Tonight, we need to heed God's Word. And as Paul the Apostle says to Timothy, of these things, put them in remembrance. And he commands them. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needest not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he goes on to say to him, but shun profane and vain babblings. And Brother Robert, and every student, and every pastor here, and today more than any other day in history, we need to heed the word of God that says, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon God out of a pure heart. And foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Defend the truth. Hold it. Heed it. But then the Bible goes on to say, after you do that, commit this. Give it away. Distribute it. Preach it. Proclaim it. To faithful men who are able to teach others also. What a tremendous opportunity we have to distribute the truth. I think of Australia today, and I think of how God brought so many people from so many nations into this land. As Charlie already said, yes, Lebanese, born in Australia and love this land. Praise the Lord, I've been here in Australia now for 33 years. More than my life. I came here when I was 20. You know how old I am now. And I love this land. But I sometimes cry for this land. And we have a great opportunity. People of second generation and third generation who may still understand the culture of their forefathers, who may even speak the language of their forefathers, can go back to these countries and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, where these countries are now closed to missionaries that are maybe Americans or Australians or other kind of things, but they can go back to their own nationalities. Look at some people like, for example, Brother Francois. Look at some people other like Brother James Philippe and others that have gone back and they have no visa to stay. They're actually all right and they're in their own country. And yet they were trained here, had the opportunity to receive the truth, hold the truth, defend the truth, and now they go out to distribute the truth. What a great opportunity. But sometimes I think of this land. And I think that everyone is encouraged to be respected, accepted, and treated with honor. But it seems to me, and I don't know about you, but it seems to me that every person in this land seemed to get a fair go but not the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ in our land today is under attack. You know, the truth is, sometimes our politicians will go out of their way to just, do something or say something in order to please the minority, whether it is Hinduism or Buddhism or Islam, but actually go out of their way to offend the Christian. You can actually speak about anything and you'll be okay. But as soon as you name the name of Jesus Christ, you'll be resisted. Sadly, as we read in the book of Romans, when God revealed His truth, people did not receive His truth. But they rejected His truth. They resisted His truth. And tonight, as I know that Brother Robert, his desire, and as he already has expressed it, and I would really like to also say to family and friends and anyone here tonight who does not know about his eternal destiny, the question that would really have to be answered tonight, where will you go for eternity? Tonight I plead with you, with Jesus Christ as the only hope for you and me, as the truth is then being delivered to us by God through His Word. The truth is that no man is absolutely able to save himself by himself. For if any man could save himself through his good works, there would have been absolutely no need for the Son of God to come down from heaven and to shed His blood on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But tonight I'd like to say to you that when Jesus came down and when He went to the cross, He laid Himself down on that cross willingly, vicariously, and He actually allowed the Roman soldiers to place the nails in His hands and in His feet and shed the blood as a substitution for you and for me, that He may pay for our sins and set us free, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Nobody likes to die. Even me as a Christian don't like to die. I want Jesus to come again now. But whilst you and I might not be able to escape first death, I'd like to say to you tonight that for surety, absolutely, beyond the shadow of any doubt, not because I said, but because the Word of God revealed it, that you can know that you can escape the second death. You don't have to die a second time. You say, I didn't know that there is a second death. Yes, there is. And the Bible says and reveals it. You see, death is separation. When I die the first death, my spirit will be separated from this body. And they say, He died. He died physically. In other words, the spirit was separated from my body. But that spirit goes back to its creator. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that is the judgment. There is no second chance. There is no incarnation. There is no purgatory. I challenge anyone to show me that in the Bible. The truth is, God has promised you eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And tonight, if you would humbly and repentantly come to the Lord Jesus and confess yourself as a sinner, simply as the old publican who came down to the temple to pray, and he wouldn't even lift his head up or his eyes to the Lord, but he beat upon his heart, upon his chest, and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And if you would come in the same attitude, not a prayer, not the words that you say, but the attitude of your heart, your faith, not in yourself, not your own faith, but your faith in the object of that faith. That object of faith is Jesus Christ alone. And let me warn you tonight, when you come to the Lord Jesus, you're coming to Him and Him alone, nobody else with Him. Because if you would actually say, oh, I'm willing to believe on the Lord Jesus, but I'll believe on some other thing as well, you would be offending God. Because the truth is, you would say that Jesus Christ is not sufficient. Tonight, if you believe in the sufficiency of Scripture,
as Brother Robert have been taught. We have tried and we have willingly, absolutely, knowingly, we've delivered the truth as it is in the Word of God, and I've tried my heart out to you tonight to deliver the truth as it is in the Word of God. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that does not have the Son of God hath not life. It's a simple equation. It's a simple truth. It makes sense. Even a six-year-old can understand it. You see, it's all the equations of the secular world that I don't understand. I don't understand how nothing with nobody equals everything. That's what evolution says. They say you came from the goo to the zoo to you. That's the equations of the world. But the truth is, the equations of God is this. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. No pastor can save you. No priest, no prayer, no baptistry of water, no church. Nobody can save you other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will come to Him tonight and truly confess that you are a sinner and that you have tried with all sorts of things, whether it be through good works or through religion or through other things, and you say, Lord, I come to you having absolutely given up on everything, but I'm only willing to trust you alone. The Bible declares that God is love, and He says to you, I have loved you with everlasting love. And that's why He tonight wants to take you in and adopt you and seal you with His Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we all like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord loved us so much that He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Bible declares every time to anyone who's in trouble, when the Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is nothing under heaven that is given among men whereby we could be saved. Tonight, if you truly are absolutely willing to transfer your trust from yourself, from your religion, from all the things that you have been given from your forefathers and others that have clouded your mind, and you know that caused nothing but confusion and absolute nothing but the untruth, you would say tonight, I know that the truth in Jesus Christ. I know that the truth in God's Word. And tonight, you would actually hear the Holy Spirit saying, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is calling you. Yet another opportunity. Please listen to me. We are given many opportunities in life. And I'd like to conclude with this. We're given many opportunities in life. Sometimes we make mistakes and we regret them. But the truth is, after we regret them, we say, well, at least we learned a lesson. But when the opportunity is gone, it's gone forever. It doesn't come again. I told our church a few weeks ago about a name by Ronald Wayne. Ronald Wayne invested some money with two other of his friends. One of them is called Steve Jobs. He died a couple of months ago. He's the founder of Apple Computers. After he invested his money, and he was the older one, fellow between the other two, the other one is called Steve Wozniak, and they formed the company. About 11 days later, he pulled out and he said, no, I've got the jitters and I've made some loss in other places. I'm going to pull out. He pulled out. 11 days, he took his 10% in the company, and the share was $800. If he had kept that $800 in his company, today it would be worth $35 billion. Tonight, I'm not talking about money. Tonight, I'm talking about your eternal soul. The Bible says these words, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, not just $35 billion? The whole world, but lost his own soul. I plead with you tonight. God has given you an opportunity. As we close, with every head bowed and all eyes closed, let's all please stand. God's spoken to your heart tonight.